and a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Big time weekend in sports after what we saw last night. The college football playoff where Notre Dame took down Penn State 27-24 and the Rockets 1.5-game lead in the Southwestern Division. 2 seed in the West with a 119-115 win over the Grizzlies. Why are you guys laughing about that?
It's not that.
What are you laughing at?
It's you.
What did I do?
Oh, no, I'm laughing at the 1.5 games up in the Southwest Conference.
I know that's what Sean was doing.
With games left.
I know that's what Sean was doing.
I can't do the hat. It's too much.
What about the hat? Can you explain the hat? What's wrong with my Rockets hat, Mr. Joe George? I don't have a Notre Dame hat.
I have the same Rockets hat, so that's also a freebie for you. You didn't pay for that.
Oh, wow. Let's try to deflect when my favorite school won a big-time playoff game last night.
It's the style of the hat is a strange one to wear sideways.
Can you explain? Oh, it's a strange hat to wear sideways.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this hat sideways. He says it's a strange style.
Because it almost like, this is the problem. From where I'm sitting right now, it looks like a bald cap. Like, I can't see the bill of the hat.
Or like a Kangol.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a Kangol.
Oh, you feel like a Kangol guy. Are you a Kangol guy?
No, I don't live in Massachusetts anymore, so I don't wear that.
Well, we don't know where anyone's from anymore.
If I lived in Southie, I would wear a Kangol cap. But I'd be like, that's me, Sully, from Southie, dude.
I mean, the biggest Chicago sports fan... The biggest Chicago sports fan I know is a total fraud. So he's from Newton, Massachusetts, apparently.
Big cat?
Yeah. So I don't know about anything in sports fandom anymore.
Well, he might just be a masochist, honestly. But listen, for those who don't know, yes, I am wearing my hat sideways. It's a dad hat. That's because I'm from the West Side, as you see. I'm holding up one W, two Ws with my hands because I am from west of the Galleria, West Side. So I'm allowed to wear a hat sideways like this. And I don't like, one, Joe commenting on my fashion when he didn't have the balls to wear a Notre Dame hat and has never purchased a Notre Dame shirt in his life.
I didn't say that.
Or Sean behind the glass is laughing at the Rockets having a 1.5-game lead in the Southwestern Division, one of the best divisions in basketball, 2 seed in the Western Conference after last night's win.
It was a good win last night.
It was a good win last night. Jalen Green has been consistent of late.
He's been playing really well since the lineup change. This is very reminiscent of the March Jalen Green, if not better, honestly, like what he's been doing recently. This is why it's hard to, he's like a guy you don't want to quit. That's why fans are so torn on him, because he could have stretches like this where he's very clearly the best player on the team. And then he might very quickly here have a stretch where you're wondering why he's still a Houston Rocket.
And on top of all that, he is 22 years old.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like the quarterback thing that's happening in the NFL with these guys moving teams and teams bailing on them too quick, where I'm kind of hesitant on wanting to bail on Jalen Green, because I just want to, it's like we still have a long road to go.
The Rockets clearly feel the same way with the contract they gave him this offseason. I mean, it's tricky, because if he does that in the fourth quarter against a team like Memphis, who, okay, maybe not one of the best teams in the NBA, not a team we're expecting to win a title, but Ja Morant is back, and if you're able to do that at the end of a game, the real question is how many times can you do that and how many times are you going to just clank, clank, clank like your both Dylan Brooks and Cam Whitmore last night? Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, but Jalen Green's last 4 games, he's averaging 29 points, 5.3 three-pointers per game, 4.8 rebounds. He's shooting 49% from the field, 44% from the three-point line, and 90% from the free throw line.
He has been a lot better since Thanksgiving and since the NBA Cup game against the Golden State Warriors. He's just been playing better. Hopefully it continues. It's nice to see it happen now. We've seen it happen at the end of the year before. End of the year is always tricky when we're talking about a team that's out of playoff contention. You always got to take it, I think, with a bit of a grain of salt, especially seeing as we have seen Rockets young players like, guess what, Jalen Green multiple times and Jabari Smith once have really good final months of the year. But he is playing very well of late. Dylan Brooks and Cam Whitmore were so bad last night, and I need to bring that up again. They were 5 for 29 combined.
Yeah, that's Cam Whitmore special.
And considering Amen Thompson also stunk in that game, I mean, this was really an impressive victory because of what they overcame along the way. I mean, all three of those guys played poorly, and Hell, I mean, Alperen Şengün had 32 and 14, but he missed 8 free throws.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's crazy.
How did he miss 8?
No.
He had 15 attempts. He missed over half of them.
And that, but
he's pretty good at those normally, right? Like,
yeah,
like he's like 70%.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The, 7 for 15.
That one play, though, he had at the free throw line where he faked the pass.
Oh, yeah. It, like
on Jaren Jackson.
Literally the move my dad would do to me on the driveway when I was growing up. Where, like, the pass fake.
Yeah.
Like, put the ball on the back of your head.
Yeah. Gnarly.
Yeah, no, I it is a good point that this was not a game the Rockets play very often where it is just a whole bunch of guys all chipping in a little bit. It's bench players and the edges of the core seven where it's Cam Whitmore's going off. This was your three best players carried you to a win.
Yep.
For maybe not the first time this season, but the first time against a good opponent where you see like, aha, this is how this all works without the major trade to get a number one guy. It's no, you're the people you invest a lot in, whether it's the contracts and
Fred
the
VanVleet.
Draft picks and then the contracts to VanVleet. These three guys played like the three best players on teams play when you need to win a big game, and that's what they did.
Two final notes on this game before we get back into it later on in the show. Jayshon Tate.
Yeah.
He's a dog for Alperen Şengün.
Day one of the rebuild.
The OG Rockets fans online. They're finally seeing their Jayshon Tate stock
return.
Go up.
Yeah,
Dogecoin. I sold mine a while ago.
He's the Dogecoin of.
I'm not buying Jayshon Tate stock again. I'll put it that way, though.
Okay.
Also, Ime Udoka started a random bleep storm with Memphis Grizzlies fans online because he said that Marc Gasol didn't deserve to win Defensive Player of the Year in 2009 and. Udoka played for the Spurs back then. Grizzlies fans were so butthurt over that. I was reading the comments. I was like, wait a second. Why are we bad?
Wait, in 2009?
It was like 2009 or something like that? Yeah.
I know he has... Yeah, I don't know. Was it LeBron should have won? Because
I
know
don't
LeBron
remember.
Gasol had a...
You know what? Hell, I don't even remember the year that it was. But hang on a second. Ime Udoka played with the San Antonio Spurs from 2007 to 2011, was asked if he's shown Alperen Şengün defensive tape of Marc Gasol. Udoka noted that Marc Gasol wasn't first-team all-defense that season. Okay, never mind. Not defensive player of the year. What am I talking about? I misremembered the tweet.
He did have a defensive player of the year thing where it probably should have been LeBron, but they just give it to centers.
I found it a little weird that he got it. I'll leave it at that. Some of the comments responding. Grizzlies need to beat Houston by 20-plus because of that statement. Ask him if his former co-workers found his time in Boston a little weird. Bazinga, that's a pretty good one.
That's a good one. Tip the cap.
Yeah. That's a fun random one to just bring up. Like
that,
a 15-year grudge.
That is good. That is good. And I love it because it's my childhood that he's bringing up. What is that, a Tim Duncan defense that he's doing?
That's what I was saying. Like, is that Duncan? Is that it's too early for Kawhi.
Yeah, it would have been late for Duncan, I feel like.
Like, did like Tony Parker have like...
No.
I don't know.
Anyway, Rockets win, and 1.5 games up in the Southwestern Division. Someone texted in, divisions are stupid in the NBA. You know what? You're stupid.
I'll just put it this way.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Brian. Southwestern Division champs. You hang a banner for that, right? Right? Right?
I think the fact we don't know should say. there might be one banner with all of them on it. Maybe somewhere in Toyota Center, but.
I hope there's not. I mean, I think the Texans should get rid of them, so.
No!
No.
Oh,
no.
You son of a bitch! How dare you? You're bringing it up the day before a playoff game?
No, put it in one banner.
No, stop.
No,
I'm right. With this.
I'm right.
You're not right. This is huge.
You're the one that wants more from the Texans. I'm tired of celebrating banners for division
championships. Well, you celebrate
banners. And the trashiest of trash divisions.
Celebrate banners until you get more than the banners.
I want more. Take them down.
They have plenty, and they need more. They need more banners up there. Listen, it's...
Earn them.
It's an expansion franchise that's coming up with traditions that they claim have been in existence for a while. Like the H-Town's Up thing, which Arian Foster's
going to
I'm going
to make sure
tomorrow.
I get there early tomorrow to make sure...
Yeah, you need to document
to scout
this.
It.
Well, hopefully the Texans win so we can talk about this with mirth in our...
with enjoyment.
Voice. Yeah. Texans are three-point dogs, home against the Los Angeles Chargers of Los Angeles of... California. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. I'm kidding. That's what the Anaheim Angels do. So, CJ Stroud, big game for him. We touched on that earlier. I think a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert in this one as well. Vibes not great still. I'm feeling a little friskier about tomorrow now that we're 26 hours and 20 minutes away from kickoff on CBS and Nickelodeon. And I want everyone else to get there. So I found another one in my pocket. It's a little crushed up. It's a little crushed up. I don't know if it's a full one, but I found a deep steel blue pill or two. I don't know. It's crushed up. Trust me, it's deep and it's steel and it's blue. Hit it.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans Swarm!
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I just want to make sure.
Trying to get everyone hyped up because the Texans aren't really doing it, so I am forced to do it as resident cheerleader who honestly does feel like he's still going to pick against the Texans. One way to get excited for this game is to play old audio.
Okay. Throwback.
Hey, remember when the Texans made the playoffs last year and how much more fun it was? Here is CJ Stroud before the Texans-Browns game. After being told that Stephen A. Smith had said the Texans have no chance against Joe Flacco and the Browns.
CJ, Ty just mentioned you don't listen to what the media says, and I assume the team doesn't, but just so you know, you do know, right now, the biggest threat to the Ravens is Joe Flacco and the Browns. So just so
oh,
you
yeah,
know.
Oh, yeah, Stephen A. said you guys have no chance.
No chance. No, I'm not a Browns fan, but I'm just telling you.
Oh,
what
we
the
have
media
no chance?
Yeah, right, Stephen A. said a rookie quarterback
yeah, no way.
Is not going to do anything in the playoffs.
That's not happening.
Notice what he said along the way there? All right. Hell yeah. One word angry response instead of what we got this week, where in response to being told that Rex Ryan thinks the Texans are a bye week for the Chargers, he said, yeah, it doesn't really matter that much, as did DeMeco Ryans.
He also said he likes being the underdog.
He did say that. That's true. We should have isolated that. Maybe later on in the show, we'll isolate that part of the quote to make you feel like he didn't say any of the other stuff, like bulletin board material doesn't matter.
Yeah, just I like being an underdog.
I want it to matter for us, okay? Snort that deep steel blue pill. What? Why are you shaking your head? You can do it that way, too.
You can.
It's generally advised to do it, but it's crushed up because it was in my pocket. So, I mean...
These, by the way, are definitely past the expiration date.
So they may not work?
Or delayed.
But they weren't.
You know,
they're not black market, though.
Okay.
I did not get this on the...
Yeah. This isn't the truck stop one?
It's not some guy in a trench
coat. But it just might not work until like 3 in the morning when she's gone.
But if it works at 3:30 in the afternoon tomorrow,
that's
a late 24-hour effect.
Yeah.
Slow absorption. Here is DeMeco Ryan's speech after the Texans clinched a playoff berth.
Love you guys, man.
Yes, sir. You too.
Man, proud of the determination, man. You talk about determination, pure grit. Mm. Everybody fight to their last play.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, man. And we punched our ticket. Hey, now everything starts, right? Everybody 0-0 right now. All we want is opportunity. Opportunity, and we got our op. Now, what do we do with that op? Right? We go take advantage of the op again. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Joe said that yesterday. They're 0-0. I haven't quite said
that. 0-0, baby.
I haven't quite said that.
Take care of that op.
That's DeMeco Ryan saying that. Now, I don't know what the expiration date is on a speech after the Texans beat the Colts in early 2024, but I wish this energy was anywhere around us right now, because it's just not there.
No, it's not. I didn't think DeMeco even gave like a good speech like that after this game when they made the playoffs.
Maybe after they beat the Titans, he gave something, and I would assume that after they clinched the AFC South. Did they need help after the game to clinch the AFC South?
I think they did. I think the Colts had to lose to the Broncos.
So we didn't have that moment.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to give like a rah-rah speech when you don't know the result.
Well, just play that one then on repeat. And the vibes are good in the locker room. I know that DJ Bieniemy said otherwise, but this is from Chancellor Johnson in response to Sean Pendergast tweeting that, look, the Texans have not hit expectations, but people shouldn't be saying they're a two-touchdown dog. Chancellor Johnson of KPRC said this, talking to players in the Texans locker room, they hear it.
Mm.
All of it. But I genuinely think they don't care. I don't want to hear that. With that being said, it's a confident vibe around NRG. Saturday will be fun.
If they hear it, they care. There's no way. There's no way you can convince me that these guys all just don't care. That they're being called a bye week, that no one's picking them to win this game. Someone's got it. It's got to motivate somebody.
It should. It should. It should. They should be putting that up.
Yeah.
The bulletin board material. They should be looking at that in the same way that Robert De Niro in the movie Cape Fear is just looking outside of the prison bars, doing his pull-ups, doing his push-ups, you know? Focus and anger and rage. Sometimes it brings out the best in all of us. Hey, this is a little extra Deep Steel Blue Pill for you. Can you ever think of a time when a 10-7 Texans team played an 11-6 team with the top defense in a division with three teams in the playoffs on Saturday in the wild card, and people like Stephen A. Smith said they had no chance to win? Oh, yeah, it was last year.
Oh.
Because the Browns were literally that. An 11-6 team was supposedly the top defense in a division with three teams. They've done this before.
And what happened in the playoffs? The quarterback that had a lot of success?
Yeah.
Threw a lot of pick sixes?
Joe Flacco. Well, we're going to need that from Justin Herbert. Here's the sad thing. I don't think Herbert's going to throw a pick six. Herbert has three interceptions all year. Now, it would be funny if he just goes full Schaub.
Yeah. Completely lights are too bright. This is the biggest, this is the most hostile environment he's played in as a pro.
Yes. Way more hostile than Jacksonville.
That's right. That's all I'm saying, is that it's more hostile than that one Jags game.
It definitely is.
Actually, he's probably played in some Chargers home games that were pretty hostile.
Yeah, I would think so. He's battle-tested, for
every
sure.
Game. Yeah, I don't know. When the Cowboys came to town, it was probably a little worse.
But that Jaguars so game, I mean, Al Michaels was falling asleep, so you can understand why Justin Herbert and the Chargers fell asleep. It's sort of what they do. More positive vibes. Someone on Texans Reddit posted this. Houston, Texans will win the 2025 Super Bowl. Swarm.
Is that the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Or okay.
Thank you, Parsnip Any 8210 15 hours ago.
Wow.
I'm feeling pumped. How about that guy? I mean, that's more motivational than anything we've heard from the Texans this week. Some random Redditor posting that, but hey.
Yeah, like I would actually be okay if they were on the other side of the pendulum and they're talking like way too aggressively. Like if they let Tim Settle perhaps speak, and he was like, Justin Herbert, I'm coming for you, Justin Herbert.
Coming for you, pretty boy.
Yes.
Hey, Sunshine.
Saturday, 3:30 in NRG Stadium.
You're going nowhere.
I'm
going
to snap you like a Slim Jim. I just made him Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know, that was actually Bonesaw from
Spider-Man.
Original Spider-Man. Bonesaw. The greatest fictional wrestling character in any movie.
What a fun movie scene that is.
Hey, Freak Show.
Hey, Freak Show.
I love that. So, more Deep Steel Blue Pills for you. I'm struggling. I looked all over the internet. Again, I'm trying to get this pumped.
We've gone down to random Redditors that are going to win.
Boogerballs 42069 says that the Texans offense is has an EPA of 69, and their Klondorp is 279.
What's their DVOA? Or do they have a higher DVOA than the Chargers?
It's Biffin. That's what it is. It's on fleek. For real. It's splitch. Gen Z says that, right?
What's that last one?
I don't know. I just made it up. It's splitch, yo.
Is that splitch?
Yeah.
I just want to spell it right.
Yeah. We're making up new words. Look at me. I got my hat on sideways.
Yeah, or maybe the social club. I don't know.
Yo, the Texans be splitch, y'all mean?
Do you think the Texans are going to be splitched this weekend?
Honestly, people might just click on it and try to figure out what it means.
Like, what the hell is this?
What is this word?
Let's go, baby. Let's go. I'm still looking there. It's not a lot out there. Doesn't look like many Chargers fans are commenting. Or not commenting. There doesn't look like many Chargers fans are coming to NRG Stadium, which is not a surprise to anyone.
Well, they don't exist.
Well, some do.
Yeah.
We had an intern who was a Chargers fan. He was a Chargers fan, right? Joe doesn't even remember.
I don't know, yeah.
Middle management Joe, he's fired so many.
I just think of Easy. I fired one intern. I think of Chargers fan, I think of Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, Cam Smith's a Chargers fan?
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's trying to convince us to do the bullpen with Sean Bryan and Cam. at a Chargers bar on Saturday. I was like, no.
What?
Because he hosts the Chargers watch party every week. I'm like, no, I'm not saying.
In Houston?
Yeah.
What? They exist?
It's pretty. I went last year.
Where?
One of their games. I don't remember
he
where said, it's at.
He texted me the name of it once.
Okay.
I can find it.
Interesting.
I mean, why would I find it? Who cares?
Yeah.
We're not doing the show there. Who cares?
Per the comment section of my YouTube channel, the Chargers are not overlooking the Texans.
Oh.
So they respect the Texans.
That's good.
The national media doesn't, but the Chargers do.
That's good.
Anything else? I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, I want to believe.
I believe. The Texans are winning this weekend. I don't know how. I don't know why.
Okay, we're going to need to work on that.
No, you know what? Kaimi.
We're going to need to work on that. We're going to need to work on
They're
that.
They're going to win. Kaimi Fairbairn, game-winning field goal, 48 yards. Final score, 3-0.
Honestly, I trust him less from 40 yards than I trust him from 50.
51 yards.
Yeah.
That good would, call.
You make it a 50-yard
field goal. Yeah, CJ, when you're trying to get in position, like we saw Notre Dame do this yesterday, get in position for the game-winning field goal, when CJ does it, take a knee 3 yards backwards.
Okay.
Get to 51. Kick is good. Texans win.
I'm gonna need you to work on that for the final hour of the show. Because that was not... You told me earlier this week you were going to pick the Texans to win.
I'm picking the Texans to win.
Yeah, but
you
I
didn't
thought,
say I needed a reason.
I thought you were going to have like a speech or something. We can play dramatic music in the background later on, but you got to think up something.
Okay,
I've got a speech ready to go, but it's kind of like a. I'm not sure the Texans will appreciate it.
Is it the speech that the captain gave at on the Titanic? Is it that one? is it that one?
Well, guys, it's been real.
Wish you had told me about that iceberg earlier.
See you next season.
Someone should have given me a phone call while I was Sheboygan in the captain's room. That's why I missed the iceberg, which was apparently like a skyscraper.
Is that true?
No, I made that up.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was going to say, that wasn't in the movie. That
would be an even funnier way to...
It would make a lot more sense than, like, missing a skyscraper-sized sized iceberg.
He found a deep steel blue pill and was just... He missed the iceberg.
Yeah, Leo slipped him one. And...
Yeah.
And on that note, all right, well, we tried to get you pumped up. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Let's take a look at the other big games in the NFL playoffs this weekend, and my God, another Deshaun Watson setback in Cleveland. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Texans.
Four.
Derek Stingley, first team All-Pro.
Hell yeah. Sauce Gardner, who?
It is pretty crazy how quickly that script has flipped. Where now, the entire football cognoscenti looks at Stingley as a better corner than Gardner when... Just 2 years ago, people were like, what are the Texans doing taking Stingley over Sauce Gardner? And you had Jets executives high-fiving each other in the draft rooms when they made that choice. And honestly, I think Sauce Gardner is a very good corner. I just think the Jets situation has blown up, and Gardner has become very me over the last couple of years. But congratulations to Derek Stingley. It is well-deserved. Since his return from injury in the second half of last year, he has been awesome as a corner. I think he's been more physical this year, better tackler, and yeah, he's just incredible. Don't laugh. His ball skills, phenomenal.
They're awesome.
Very few defensive backs are as good at getting to it the way he is. I think he could play wide receiver if the Texans were in a pinch.
The his counterpart for the All-Pro team, Patrick Surtain, last year signed a 4-year, $96 million contract. Derek Stingley Jr. is officially eligible for his new contract.
I wonder what they're going to do because they have yet to give out the 4-year deal. The Texans love the 3-year contract. So that's a big question for the offseason, which hopefully we will not be talking about on Monday or Tuesday because we do have a Texans playoff game tomorrow. They are 3-point underdogs against the Los Angeles Chargers. But a lot of other games I am excited for this weekend. You got the Steelers and Ravens tomorrow night on Amazon Prime. Hopefully, Al Michaels will enjoy this game, unlike that Chargers-Jaguars game a few years ago. I don't blame him for falling asleep when you got St. Tony Dungy in there boring you to death.
Yeah.
Big game for Lamar Jackson. He's under more pressure than anyone this week, including C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert in game number one.
I think maybe Mike Tomlin a little bit. Kind of feel like we're starting to get the Mike Tomlin, the making the playoffs and being one game above 500 conversation isn't enough anymore.
I think it's a fair point.
Yeah, I just think people are like, at some point you have to win playoff games.
And some Steelers fans are getting tired of it.
Yeah, and...
But I don't think you'd necessarily do better. I mean, here's the thing with the Steelers. They don't have a quarterback. So I am with you in that there will be pressure on him, but I doubt the Steelers are going to make some sort of move. They have to find a way to get a better quarterback. Russell Wilson had some moments this year, but he's clearly not the guy. Justin Fields, clearly not the guy. Justin Fields, by the way, this week was like, oh, we might have some two quarterback situations. And I know somebody asked him about it, but he was like, yeah, they're going to have to watch out. Calm down, Justin Fields.
I mean, they'll put him on the field and it'll go disastrously because that's kind of how those plays have gone this year for the Steelers.
Could return kicks?
He could.
Didn't do that for the Bears?
He'll be a starting quarterback next year, I bet.
I think he will compete for a job, maybe in Indianapolis, but I don't think he will be a starter.
That's fair.
We'll see, though. Again,
I just think there's going to be enough wanna movement that someone will give him a flyer. Like, he might start before rookie takes over. Mm-hmm. Like, that's maybe he's like the bridge quarterback in Tennessee until Shedeur Sanders takes over.
That's the best thing that you would want him to do because, like, you know what his ceiling is.
Yeah.
Sunday, it's Broncos on the road against the Buffalo Bills. Bills are heavy favorites in this game, much like the Ravens are. 9.5-point favorites, mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Saturday, the Broncos 9-point dogs heading to Orchard Park. I feel like that line actually isn't enough.
I do agree. The Broncos
blow up.
Broncos have been a fun story, but I think Buffalo's going to run them over this year in this game. I mean, Bo Nix has done a lot of great things this year. Got to give him credit, and Sean Payton too, for turning that around, having $48 million in dead cap space, but making the playoffs with a rookie quarterback who was the third or fourth quarterback taken. It is impressive, but I think Buffalo asserts their dominance in this one.
I give Denver's defense a lot more credit for this year than Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix has been fun, and he's had some moments. He's still Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'm not a Bo-leaver. I'm a Bo-leaver.
Yeah, I agree that it is impressive to get to 10 wins in that division, like we said earlier. Three playoff teams in that division.
Chargers and Chiefs too?
Yeah. So, good job by them. But rookie quarterback going to Buffalo for your first playoff game.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing that being a win.
Hopefully no phallic items are thrown at Bo Nix and clonk him on the helmet.
I'm fine if there's a couple.
They got to get their animosity out some way.
Yeah, I mean, it won't hurt them.
It is illegal for them to jump through tables now.
Oh, really?
It is actually, there's an Erie Park ordinance where at the Bills Stadium, you are not allowed to bring folding tables. I don't know if they look the other way, but...
Well, if they don't, then I'm rooting for the Broncos.
I will say...
Let these people jump through a table and break their elbow.
Let them be them.
I will say the Bills Mafia thing, I don't know.
You're over it?
Yeah. I don't need like the CBS crew to randomly be at a Buffalo Bills game and then to laugh about it for the 15th time in the last 4 years that they've been good. That it's like, oh, they jumped through tables here. It's like, yeah, we get it, guys.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing new here.
As they were becoming good, it was a good story.
Yes.
But now I'm like, same.
Yeah.
Kind of over.
We get it.
Sunday, 3:30 on Fox, Joe George's Green Bay Packers. Kidding.
Dick.
Do you have a
Green Bay Packers hat?
Yeah, do you have a Green Bay Packers hat?
No.
Okay.
You have as many... Wait, hang on. You have one Chicago Bears shirt.
Yeah.
I was about to say, do you have as many Packers shirts? You have as many Packers shirts as you have Notre Dame shirts.
That statistically is true.
Green Bay on the road against Philadelphia. Philly 5.5-point favorites. Green Bay's been very coy about Jordan Love's status. I imagine he will play because it's Malik Willis. I know Malik Willis has had some fun moments this year. Jalen Hurts, meanwhile, in the concussion protocol, we will see what happens. I imagine he will be...
I think he got cleared
earlier. He got cleared today?
Okay, yeah, like this morning.
And then A.J. Brown just said that, and he hasn't been practicing. He said he's playing.
Okay.
No matter what.
So what do we think about these Philadelphia Eagles? 5.5. We'll talk about the actual pick for the game, but 5.5-point favorites over Green Bay. This is the game that played week one in Brazil. The field should be better.
They should go back to Brazil.
No, they should not. They
it's like
should
it's
not.
Like it's like Red River. It's like Oklahoma, Texas.
No,
every time they play in the Cotton Bowl.
Not in Brazil. God, that game frustrated me on so many levels. Philadelphia, I feel like, is going to make this closer, and it is going to be about Saquon Barkley. And I am curious to see what Barkley does in a playoff spot with a team that actually is functional, as opposed to he made it with the Giants once before.
Yeah,
right?
That 1 year that got Daniel Jones paid and not him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, when they beat Minnesota.
Yes.
True.
Yeah, I think this is the game I'm most interested in this weekend, Packers-Eagles.
Okay.
Because I think it's, even though it's 5.5, to me it's more of a coin flip than Texans-Chargers. I think the Packers are a really good football team. I think so are the Eagles. So, a lot of it will probably depend on the health of A.J. Brown, because the Eagles, even with Saquon Barkley, their offense is not the same, obviously, when he's not out there. We saw it this season after he got hurt. They struggled, you know, to push the ball down the field, but I think I'm leaning towards, I know we have some time to before we make picks, I think I'm leaning Packers, honestly.
Okay.
But this is a really good game.
The Sunday night game, Commanders, Bears. Sorry, Joe. That was unintentional. That was unintentional bullying there.
That's a lie. I mean, the Commanders haven't played the Bears this year. I don't know.
They haven't. It's Commanders, Bucks.
Oh, no, wait, they did play.
Bucks 3-point favorites at Raymond James Stadium. Joe is flipping Sean off. He didn't flip me off, though. There we go. There
well,
it is.
Because I brought up the...
That truly was unintentional.
Tyreek Stevenson.
So, this is a fun game. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. The Bucks defense is rather sus this year. And Baker Mayfield's been a whole lot of fun. So, this is actually the game I'm looking most forward to, even though it features two teams that are... No one's thinking any of them have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, can Daniels do what CJ did and win a playoff? It's like, or Bo Nix. You have two rookies in the playoffs this year. I've been impressed so much with Baker Mayfield this year to have the success that they've had with all the injuries they've had on offense. Bucky Irving's been a good story. This game's gonna be a lot of fun on Sunday night too. The real question is like, can Tampa, I think, slow down Jaden Daniels running? Because I wonder how much he'll try to rely on that in the playoff, because you remember back in the early beginning of the season, he only threw to the right side of the field, and he would run a lot more. But as the season developed, like, that changed. They opened up the offense. He was throwing the ball more around, deep down the field to Terry McLaurin. I wonder if, like, we see some, like, regression back into the idea of, like, play it safe in this game. I hope not, because I love watching him throw the ball down the field.
I think a lot of Commanders fans are going to want a lot more of the throwing. To Scary Terry, who has been great this year, as he always is, one of the more underrated players in the league. But I think a lot of Washington fans are probably in the back of your mind. You're thinking to yourself, and I know Daniels is not going into this game injured like RG3 was, but you're probably thinking, man, we got this awesome rookie quarterback. Please don't tear your ACL.
Yeah.
Please don't have a knee injury.
That is true.
Bucks field better than the Commanders field.
Sure.
Yeah. So, shout out to Ray J.
So shout out to Raymond James Stadium.
That's such a good point you brought up, Paul. Because
it's
got
to be in the back of your mind.
No, but I was thinking, see, I'm not a Commanders fan. So I was thinking, like, this is the week, like, You save him for the playoffs. Like, you don't have him run as much. So in the playoffs, you get that full dimension, and he's relatively healthy. I know he battled rib injury in the middle of the year. I don't know where he's at with that. But I was thinking you come in here and you try to run you run Jaden Daniels. And you still throw, but you add that element to your offense just to make yourself hard to stop with Brian Robinson back there as well. I still think that's a game plan, but that sucks for Commanders fans that they have to be in that torture chamber of the history.
One last note. This game, of course, on Monday, but Vikings-Rams moved to Arizona. You can get tickets there for $48. You want to make a Scottsdale weekend happen.
Not bad.
$48.
If I was just in Arizona.
That's pretty awesome.
I'll go to this game. This is a pretty good game, too.
Have fun on your lap. As far as Chargers-Texans, there are tickets as low as $61 available. That is the second lowest price available for any game this weekend.
Wait, so the lowest is Arizona?
Lowest is Arizona, second lowest Texans. Okay. Tampa Bay, third lowest, $72.
Okay. That makes sense. That is weird. I mean, obviously, Arizona, that's their own thing. The Tampa Bay, because they also have won, what, four straight NFC Souths? and the Texans tired. The two teams tired of this very meager level of success. Obviously, Bucks did win the Super Bowl the first year of this with Tom Brady. But I do think that's interesting. That's the two South teams that are like, we're in. Hooray.
Yeah.
But
SEC territory.
That too.
Bills, $82 as lowest ticket.
Okay.
Ravens, $87 as lowest ticket.
That's surprising.
Eagles, $143.
That's super surprising.
The Eagles is not surprising. Eagles fans are crazy.
I just mean the difference between that and Ravens Steelers.
But it's the only team that is hosting a game this weekend that didn't make the playoffs last year, right? Is that right, Philadelphia? Did they make the playoffs last year?
They made it last year. They got blown out.
That's right. I mean, maybe they believe. Everyone else is kind of just like, yeah, this is what we do.
There you go.
That is true. Wow.
And pour one out. Syracuse legend Kyle McCord has declared for the NFL draft.
He might. He might pull out.
Well, hopefully he does.
I mean, Carson Beck did. He's not going to the NFL. He's going to Miami. He's Dell's quarterback now.
Do you want to be with the Cavender twin that he's with? Oh, and one final note.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's dating one of the Cavender twins. Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
why.
And she plays
happened.
On
for sure. That's why
the
it happened.
Basketball team.
That makes sense.
The one last note. Deshaun Watson had surgery on his Achilles and will probably miss this coming season.
Because he re-tore it.
He re-tore his Achilles that he already had surgery on.
So he's had his second Achilles surgery.
In 2 months? I think they said the other one was in October, so.
October is when he got hurt. So.
It does, in November.
It does kind of feel like he's trying to never play football again. Low key.
Jeremy did bring up a good point on Twitter. Whoa, clip that. What was he doing in rehab where he could tear his Achilles 2 months after getting surgery?
Dancing
on the side of the road with his girlfriend on TikTok? Okay. Yeah, probably that then.
I almost can guarantee he did not get hurt in rehab.
Okay. So that backs up my theory of when he first tore his Achilles, where I was like, he is not playing next year, just because I don't know if he'll attack the rehab quite like Adrian Peterson back in 2012 attacking the ACL rehab, or any of these guys, if Robert Griffin, all in for week one. Like, I have a hard time thinking that Watson is going to take this seriously, and yeah, he didn't make it 2 months before re-tearing his Achilles.
Sean behind the glass, Joe to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One last really quick tidbit. Want me to keep on doing that for the rest of the segment?
Just one last
thing. One last tidbit.
And just slowly less and less.
The Patriots 100% got caught with their pants down. 100% got caught with their pants down by trying to do another interview with a minority candidate because people were pushing back on their sham interviews with Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich. They tried to interview Aaron Glenn, which actually made sense as an interview candidate. And Aaron Glenn said, nah, dude, I ain't doing that. Because they all expect them to hire one Mike Vrabel.
So there you go. Minus 400 favorite to be the head coach of the Patriots. Mike Vrabel is.
Minus 400. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right. Galanta George. He's Joe. And Paul. Sean behind the glass. Up next, 33 days away from the Astros reporting to spring training. Maybe they made the right move with Kyle Tucker. Stick around.
Your home for the college football playoff is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans and Chargers tomorrow. Chargers still 3-point favorites. No movement on that line. Nice win for the Rockets last night. Nice win for Joe George's Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which he does not have a hat for. I just threw a penalty flag on him. He does not have a Notre Dame shirt either, but a big win for them. And Texas, Ohio State tonight. The line is still Ohio State by 6. Joe?
Penalty accepted on the play. Aware of my shortcomings.
We're walking them back 10 yards.
We're walking it back 10 yards.
Okay. Good.
Should I get a whistle sounder for if this is going to be part of the show long term?
I agree, yes.
Okay, yes. I'll work on that.
I probably just need to make sure I have some of these not just in my Levi
Yeah.
You can put one in like the...
That makes me look like I'm
put
on
one in your backpack
County.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
in the drawers right there.
Huh?
You could leave
them that's true. We have file drawers here.
Yeah. You, I mean, you cleaned the office and put them there for a reason,
I did. Well, I thought it was going to be for that, but then I was like, I don't trust Joel. Joel take my stuff? I don't know.
It's a good question.
I don't think Joel would take it.
You don't think so?
Wait, Lance would take it?
Ooh, Lance would take it and blame
Joel. I don't think Joel would take it. That's what I'll say.
Oh, damn, dude. I wonder how many napkins from Lance are in these drawers, honestly.
Just tissues.
Over under 3.5?
If he even knows it's there, he might not even be aware.
I'm not even going to say how many are in there.
Definitely the over, then.
Actually, it was 0. I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping there would be some there. All right. You know what's not trash? The Houston Astros, because they've won 7 of the last 8 ALCS. Wait, 7 of the last 8 AL Wests, and they've been to 7 of the last 8 American League Championship Series. Okay? We're 33 days away from spring training beginning. Let's hit it. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
So, the Astros traded Kyle Tucker to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Tucker and the Cubs are going to go to arbitration over $2.5 million. Tucker filed at $17.5 million. The Cubs filed at $15 million. This is, I believe, the exact same amount that the Astros and Tucker fought about a couple of years ago, $2.5 million.
It's pretty close. And Tucker lost that one to the Astros. So, I don't love it as a Cubs fan. I think it's a mistake. I think you just give the guy what he wants.
It definitely lends itself to the possibility that Tucker explores free agency instead of signing a long-term deal. Like, this is a deal. You traded a lot for him. Do you want this to be a Yusei Kikuchi-style rental like the Astros just made, where you give up some prospects that have looked pretty good in Toronto for a guy who was good for you, but now he's gone? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's going to. I think he's going to be there for at most a year. I could see like a really savage move where like things aren't going well and they flip him at the deadline even. I just don't think they're gonna pay him. Like they should pay him $400 million. You traded Cam Smith and Wisniewski for him, like, and Paredes, who you just traded for. So you gave up prospects for one guy, then you gave up more to get Tucker. Like, you owe it to your fans to pay him $400 million to keep him. I don't think this is a great start.
I don't either. But not our problem anymore.
Fact. And the Astros are good at arbitration this year.
Maybe this makes you feel a little bit better about the chances of the Astros had they kept Kyle Tucker, keeping him. But I think we all knew he was gone anyway. Meanwhile, Chandler Rome of The Athletic said it's not certain if Luis Garcia, who they just agreed to a deal in arbitration with yesterday, and Lance McCullers will be ready for opening day. Well, no one's surprised by that, right?
I am.
You thought that both of them would be ready?
I mean, they missed an entire season.
Right.
Like, it's...
Well, we saw a little...
Now, Luis Garcia...
Right?
He had a... No.
Has it been that long with Luis Garcia?
Yeah. Damn. They both got hurt the previous year.
You're right. It was the beginning of 2023. God.
I just, like, assumed... I know Lance had a setback, and I know Luis Garcia had a setback, but I just assumed, like, they would be ready for opening day after missing an entire season and missing part of the season before that. Like, it's a long time to be out.
Yeah, Javier is completely different, where it's like, I don't think he pitches, at least not big starter workload at all this year. These two, I thought, like, maybe not spring training day one, but like opening day, you should be ramped up by then to be ready. This is not encouraging, especially for Garcia. McCullers kind of in his own basket there.
Yeah, and yeah, like they're throwing. They're ramping up, but I just thought they'd be ready for opening day. And maybe it's part of the fact that they also traded for Wisniewski.
Maybe.
Like,
so they're just not on, like, the fast track?
Yeah. I mean, but, like, at some point,
from the 832, they need to cut Lance Barista. He's taking up a roster spot. Come on. This is a two-time World Series champion.
They're not cutting him.
Also, when he's on the IL, it's not taking up a roster
spot. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting to see McCullers early this coming season. Luis Garcia, I know we want to see him out there. Take your time. Take your time with him. Do not rush it back. Do not let this training staff or medical staff or whoever is constantly seeming to F things up, do not let them force this guy back out there. The Astros, they do have the luxury, I think, of being patient in this division. Though, it is worth noting that the Sacramento A's have been rather aggressive in free agency.
Yeah, they signed Severino, which is strange. The biggest contract they've ever given out, and then they just extended.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Brent Rooker, 5 years and $60 million, their designated hitter.
He's a stud.
He's a good player?
Yeah. That's why the Astros, you should extend guys early, because you can do things like that. That is a incredible bargain.
Who's the closer like guy they have? I mean, it's easier
Mason
said
Miller.
Than done,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, Mason Miller.
No, I know they have to want to do it.
And it is risky that you could, you know, you could sign a John Singleton the first time.
Yeah. But Rooker was really, really good last year.
Jim Crane, A's outspending you this offseason, huh?
I don't think that's true. But,
well, okay. I'm just pretending.
I'll let you cook.
I think Christian Walker's contract is still worth more than... Him and Paredes are worth more than Severino. Even though I guess Paredes only...
Paredes is only $6 million.
He's
only
$6 million. $6 million.
That's true.
Yeah, A's outspending you.
Okay.
Interesting. Jim Crane.
I think they were forced to spend money.
Need help, buddy? You need to go fund me?
Did you see that they put Severino... Or they gave Severino, like, the... like the tour of the stadium, like how the Yankees do when they sign someone, they take them to Yankee Stadium or Boston, they take them to Fenway. They did that at the Sacramento A's.
No way.
Yeah, they had Severino walking around.
Oh my God.
The minor league ballpark.
I mean, at least they won't be the only team playing in a minor league ballpark this year because the Tampa Bay Rays have to.
Yeah, but
well, I mean,
there's a big difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
One stadium is destroyed by a hurricane. One is destroyed by rats and poor ownership.
Well, there's probably some rats in Toronto, but
well, now there is.
We don't talk about that. It would be pretty funny if the Rays did that, like they walked around like Tropicana Field without a roof. I mean, Florida's beautiful this time of year. So
yeah, this time
no
of year.
Roof now.
Oh yeah, for the free agent walk.
Better
yeah.
Lighting, honestly, for the pictures.
Anyway. I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of tempted to like
to what?
I kind of want to go to Sacramento
and
see the Astros play in the stadium.
Also, like we're talking about it. Like a 5 hour flight. No, yeah. Probably less. Probably like a 3.5.
Probably have to connect. I drove through it. It's okay. Nothing worth stopping. Didn't stop. I was more just annoyed that there was traffic. It's like, oh yeah, this is a city, huh? Watch Lady Bird if you want to see Sacramento, Joe.
Lady Bird?
It's that movie that came out like 10 years ago. It's a coming-of-age movie about a girl.
Okay.
She lives in Sacramento or something.
Okay.
She's like a hipster, artsy-fartsy type.
I think I'm out on that.
Apparently it was good. I don't know. That's all you need for Sacramento. You never have to go through there.
Okay, good to know.
And on that note, that's going to wrap up our countdown. 33 days away from the Astros. Pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach. Up next, it's all on C.J. Stroud. Tomorrow, right? Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Can you believe those bastards have the Texans in Vegas? These people, not the fine folks at MyBookie.ag. Can you believe these people have the Texans as 3-point dogs at home? Ugh, disgusting. Maybe you're really feeling proud of your Texas roots today. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? All these people doubting my state on the Gulf of America, you know what? I'm going to do a parlay. I'm going to take Texas +6 and the Texans +3. How dare they doubt Texas? Remember when they doubted Texas at the Alamo? Now, technically, Mexico won. Didn't go so well. But remember after that, Santa Ana? Caught with his pants down, taking a little nappy poo. That's what I think the Texas Longhorns might do to Ohio State. That's what I think the Houston Texans might do to the Los Angeles Chargers. Both teams heavy favorites. Do that two-step parlay. A Texas two-step indeed. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.